Hello and welcome to the Lead Hership Show. I am your host, Harriet Schumacher, certified executive coach and women's leadership expert. Thank you for tuning in. Each week, we bring forward-thinking, inspiring, and real conversations for women who want to lead and live more fully. I'm so excited to have you here. I hope you enjoy the next conversation. Thanks for tuning in. Hello, hello, hello. I'm so excited to be back here and to be live with you. I'm very excited. Happy Friday. Welcome. It's been a minute since we have been together. So much has been going on. I wish I could tell you that I have been vacationing on some sort of tropical island, which is why I haven't been going live. But that has not been the case. I have been working through multiple snow days. I have been facilitating lots of workshops and working and orienting all the women that we have inside our latest cohort of leadership, which has just been incredible to get these women started, and very excited to be able to say they are off to the races, and really we're getting forward to debriefing their feedback, which is going to be a really big game changer for them. So happy Friday. I hope your week has been going well. Hop on into the chat and say hi. I'm so happy to see you here. We have so many amazing new members that have joined the group just recently, which is so great to see. And I love how the conversations are starting to flow and you're talking with each other and supporting each other. I see some of you are connecting and networking, which is incredible. That makes me so happy. So hello, I'm Harriet Schumacher. It's nice to see you. Welcome to the Leadership Show, which is our opportunity to come together, to connect, and for me to really work with you real time, to bring you free training each week, which is one of the benefits of being a part of this network, the Women in Leadership Network. And so I'm really excited to be able to be here and have this conversation with you today. If we're meeting for the first time, Women in Leadership group is a place where I get to guide the conversation, a place where we get to do work like this. It's also a place where we host the Lead Her Career Masterclass, which you're probably starting to hear is upcoming on March 22nd. You want to make sure that you've registered. We have totally rebranded and redesigned this masterclass with new topics and new content that's going to be coming your way, and new bonus sessions. You want to make sure that you get registered for that as soon as you can and grab a copy of the workbook and join us in that amazing week. If you've attended one of those masterclasses before, you know it's so much fun. It's such an uplifting experience. There's so much energy that comes from that week, and so many results that come from that week as well. So yay, I'm excited to have you here. So hop on into the chat, say hello. I want to see you. Tell me where you're watching from today. How has your week been? What's been going on for you so far? And what brings you to this conversation today? So go on in and say hello. I'd love to hear from you. We're going to dive into a really important topic today around the power gap for women. And this is something that, you know, my mission has always been to help women to ascend into positions of power. That is what I do as a executive coach and a women's leadership development expert. I really help women to do the work that they need to do to get them into those positions of power, whatever that looks like for you. That's always a unique process for and a unique journey for each woman, but that's really my mission. That's what I'm all about, is to help more women get into senior levels of leadership and to really step into their power. And so today's conversation really is about the power gap. And there's been some very interesting research which has just come out this year, specific to things that are happening in the United States and also things that are happening in Canada. So some North American research that's been coming out about things that, you know, we already kind of knew, but, you know, the data, it doesn't lie. Once we get the data and we start to look at these numbers, then we have work to do. We have a lot of work to do. And so today I wanted to give you some insight into this power gap. I wanted to walk you through it so that you can be informed, because knowledge is power. And without this knowledge, we can be blind to the barriers that exist in front of all of us. And as a mother of two daughters, I want to change the workforce for generations forward so that every, you know, woman who is coming up behind us has a better chance, has a better opportunity at being able to make their life amazing and to be able to really send the elevator down and to lift other women up. And I really believe that when we empower women and we close these power gaps and we allow women to step into these places of power, we change the world. And so this is all of our work to do. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today. I'm going to be talking, so I'm Canadian. For those of you who might be meeting me for the first time, I live in Canada. I've worked all over the world. Now I'm in Canada full time. Not traveling anywhere. I can't wait to be able to travel again and to get out there. I just got a request today for an in-person workshop. I'm so excited to be able to do some FaceTime work and work with women on the ground. So in the meantime, we're here virtually, which is super fun because we get to connect from all over the place. So power gap, let's talk about what it is. In Canada, the first equal pay legislation was passed in 1951. So that wasn't that long ago. You know, equal pay legislation passed in 1951, making it illegal to pay men and women in the same job different salaries. So it's actually illegal to do that, even though we know the pay gap still exists. You know, it's one of those things which is really frustrating because it still happens. And so we also know that women, this is a North American fact, women have overtaken men in education. So we are the most educated. We have the most degrees. We are, you know, we have overtaken men in terms of university graduation or higher education for the past 30 years. So we're the most educated in the workforce. Okay. I want you all to know that. Yet, today women represent just under half of the workforce. So we're pretty much representing half of the workforce, but just a little bit underneath. And yet men still dramatically outnumber, outrank, and out earn women across every single sector, every industry, and really this is a global issue. And so what is going on? Why is this happening? And so, you know, for women in the workplace, a lot of progress has stalled. By almost every metric, we continue to lag generations behind men. There is no doubt a power gap today in the modern workforce, even with legislation that has been enacted and has been in place for decades. You know, you cannot legislate accountability and you cannot legislate doing the right thing. So, you know, women continue to be outnumbered, outranked, out-earned by men, not just at the very top, but all the way from the top to the middle to the bottom. And this is for many different reasons, but mostly because, and this is where I really think the power gap lives. This is where it's coming from. This is mostly because the ideal standard for performance and for success and for workers, the standard that we have built today is based on the unconscious belief. I think it was conscious before. It's become more unconscious now. The unconscious belief that men are best suited for the working world. So patriarchy is alive and well at work. And work environments, when you think of where we work, it's made up of individual behaviors, norms, cultures, systems, policies, processes, structures that function really to enable this ideal worker to succeed. And, you know, I think of this ideal worker as a middle-aged man and really was like, you know, that kind of 1940s, 1950s model of worker when a lot of the time women stayed home and men went to work. That's who the workforce was designed for. It wasn't designed for us to be in it in the first place. So I like to talk about this as a success prototype, really what the model of success looks like inside most of our work environments. The challenge with this success prototype is that it discriminates. And so it hinders minorities and women from advancing in organizations because we can never really fit into that ideal. We try our best, you know, we really do try our best to fit into that ideal, but we get penalized for acting, especially women get penalized for acting too masculine or penalized when they act female. So we're always stuck in this double bind, which is creating the power gap that we're experiencing right now. And so the problem with all of this is that our work environments tell us that they are meritocracies. And what do I mean by that? Meaning performance is awarded by merit. That's not true. I wish it was the case. That would mean that everybody gets treated equally. Everybody's performance is assessed the same. There's no bias in our work environments. You know, that's the ideal state, but that's not actually the case. And so, you know, performance is awarded by merit, but what it doesn't consider is the systemic biases that exist and how the model of performance is really a one-size-fits-some approach, not a one-size-fits-all approach. And so I want you to think about this for yourself. If you could create the ideal work environment for you, what would it look like? And does it look like the environment that you're currently in? Because I don't really believe that women need to change in order to fit that prototype. I feel like the prototype needs to change, and we need to make our work environments, we need to design our work environments to allow everyone to thrive. And so imagine if working moms and dads and people everywhere, you know, could what we could achieve if our organizations changed and were structured for us to succeed instead of forcing us all to fit into this one size fits some model. And so creating a workplace and closing this power gap really will only happen if we start to change the way that we think about performance and success and what does that actually look like in our work environments. And so a couple things that I wanted to share with you about the power gap, and then I want to give you some strategies, some things to think about if you want to start doing work on this inside your organization, some things that you can do and some tangible things. So I posted a graph for you guys to take a look at inside this group yesterday. This comes from the research that I'm referring to, and what it's telling us is that there are more men serving as supervisors, managers, senior managers, directors, executive directors, and vice presidents and CEOs. There are more men in those positions than women, consistently across the board. So that's the power gap, okay? Even though we represent half of the workforce, we are not representing half of the most powerful positions in across sectors, whether you're talking about higher education, private sector, public sector. The story is pretty much the same everywhere you go. There's more men on executive teams running the helm of a lot of institutions. There's more men in six-figure jobs. And when we compare these things, when we look at the different sectors and industries, we also know that in the majority of cases, regardless of what level that you're at, men are earning more than their female counterparts, even women who worked for the same company and are at the same management rank, even though that's illegal. It's really happening, right? So in this recent bit of body of research, you know, it's hard to pull out this kind of data because a lot of companies keep their pay information private. It's not public information. Only certain maybe crown corporations or public institutions share that information. It's typically only the most senior positions or the most highest paid positions that they do that. So, you know, but it tells us a trend. It tells a story, no doubt. And so there was 171 organizations that disclosed their full workplace data, and men outnumbered women at 84%. They out-earned women 68% of the time. Think about that. 68% of the men in 171 organizations earned more than women for doing the same job. It's 2021. What the hell is going on here? Right? And so among those positions, executive leadership team and president, men outnumbered women at 71%. 71% of them are in more senior leadership positions. So, you know, top leaders, when we look at top leaders, 71% of those positions are held by men. So that's the power seat. 71% are held by men. 29% are held by women. And so when we get up into the highest echelon of those positions, the top one percentile of earners from each entity, men outnumber women 3-1. And so this is a problem. This is a really big gap, because when people talk about the glass ceiling, and we hear that a lot, like, let's break the glass ceiling, let's get into those higher, those highest offices in the land, right? We really want to, what we're talking about there is really breaking into the C-suite or breaking into the CEO role. That's what we're talking about when we talk about breaking the glass ceiling. But what we're actually seeing is something that's even more problematic and is really contributing to this power gap. Women are topping out at mid-level management. They seem to be, you know, not really moving past that level, which is why when we're looking to recruit people into those positions, there's just not enough women in the pool to choose from. And so why is this happening? We know a couple of things. We know that, there's so much we could talk about here, but we know that there's a wage gap. Women make 87 cents for every dollar a man makes on average. There is lots of ways, I say on average, because there is lots of ways for us to be able to distill that information based on race, based on location, based on sector, full-time, part-time, all of these types of things. But really what stands out is there's an overall lack of women. And when we look at what's been happening with COVID, there's an exodus of women leaving the workforce right now, which is why this is so, so important that we all need to be tuning in and paying attention to what is happening here. Because women were already dramatically outnumbered. And especially when we look at from a salary and a pay perspective, we're seeing men getting paid three times more than women in the highest earning categories. And so wage gap is a problem. No question. But there's more going on here. There really is a power gap. And so the problem is that this has been a concern for decades. And very few companies have actually said, we're going to do something about this. Even when there is so much evidence that supports that female leadership is good for the bottom line, it's important for us all to recognize that this pandemic and what we're dealing with right now is threatening to really undo all of the progress that we've been making. But really, the past 10 years, not a lot of progress has been made. Here's what you're telling me and what I know to be true. Women are juggling unpaid care work of young children, unpaid homeschooling for school-age kids, and their jobs at the same time. Some point, we're going to lose traction. At some point, we're going to be losing traction in these pipelines to more senior leadership roles for promotion. You might even lose your job. You might even step back. I know a lot of women, as a result of what's been going on with this pandemic this year, are like downshifting not only their desire to want to grow and take on a more senior leadership role, because we simply feel like we can't juggle it all. And so, you know, what are you going to do? You're not going to take care of your kids, right? You're going to think about where are your priorities, and you're going to juggle this. So that's been the only alternative. And so what I want you to think about here is, what if the workplace changed to make it more inclusive for women to be able to do what they need to do at home and be able to grow their careers at the same time? The only way that that's going to happen and the workplace is going to change to make it more inclusive is if more women get into those positions of power. We're the ones who are going to change that system to work for us. Nobody else is going to do that, right? And so the concern here is that COVID is going to undo these modest gains that we have made in recent years. And a lot of women are going to start to contemplate and have been contemplating pausing their careers to take care of children, to take care of elderly relatives. And when you step away from the labor market for an extended period in time, you run the risk of losing experience, of losing tenure, of losing your position on that normal track had you been engaged throughout. And so that leads to differences in terms of how you're going to get paid. And so this is, you know, really important for us to consider, like, how do we resolve this? How do we do this? Because, you know, if the power positions at the key decision makers in most of the organizations are making decisions and they are men, we need to really think about how we are being represented in terms of decision making that's happening inside our workforce. And so the biggest obstacle to our progress, I believe, as women, one of the biggest ones, there are many, it's not the glass ceiling. It's not, you know, really the glass ceiling that's keeping us from reaching the top levels of leadership. Because I speak to women every day that are ready to step into those positions of power. It's not that we don't want it. Okay, that's not it. Instead, the biggest obstacle, I believe, for a lot of women occurs at the very first steps to getting into those positions, getting promoted into management, and then getting promoted from management to a more senior level position. That's where we end up getting stuck. And so what we've seen now, and this is referred to as the broken rung issue, men are far more likely than women to be promoted from their entry level job to a management position. And this is an early inequity that explains why we experience this power gap at more senior levels of leadership. Women cannot catch up. And so for this, the study that has been conducted has said that for every 100 men who are promoted or hired at a manager level, only 72 women were hired or promoted to manager. So that first level of leadership, that first rung into a position of authority and a position of power, there's already a gender imbalance. And this difference is so great, it actually creates a broken rung. And so this is one of the biggest obstacles that we face on the path to leadership. And so the broken rung at the bottom of the ladder, right? Like imagine going into like management all the way to C-suite, that broken rung keeps women from reaching the top of the ladder. Because as you go up, there's fewer and fewer women to be promoted, right? Like there's just not as many women in the pipeline, which when it comes time for employees to choose senior management roles, you know, there's a decrease of women at every subsequent level. And so add to this all kinds of other complexities, but we have our work to do here because there are remedies to this. And I want to share with you a couple of examples about how to do that. But I want you to think about this. If we don't turn the corner on this and we don't all step up and use our voice and start to lead, imagine the loss of millions of women from the workforce. Imagine the impact that that will have. And the cascading effect that that will have on the women who remain, and the impact that that will have on, you know, gender parity in the workforce, all the things that we've been working towards, you know, and women who remain in the workforce are taking on an overwhelming amount of extra responsibility on top of their already full plates, right? There's so many women that I'm working with right now who are saying, like, I'm really burnt out. Like, I am exhausted because I just keep taking on more. And so, you know, we really need a strong community support system, and we really need women who are working to combat these mounting pressures of responsibilities that senior leadership women are making. And really, you know, organizations need to recognize these challenges and provide women with the support that we need to stay on top. And so when we look at some examples of organizations who've done this well, what they have done, organizations have committed to reducing gender bias in the workplace. They've committed to changing their workforces to make them more inclusive and to set goals and accountabilities around doing this. So a couple of organizations that have been highlighted as success stories for this, and there are many more examples. I want to share these with you. Nextroll, Nordstrom, and Sodexo. So what they did, they prioritized gender diversity. They realized, like, you know, the data can't lie. We know that this is an issue. It's also an issue for us. They looked inside, they looked outside, and they said Nextroll decided to focus on closing the gap on gender diversity in their workforce, and they were able to increase the number of women in senior management from 27% to 40%. Nordstrom increased the share of women in the C-suite from 7% to 40%. And Sodexo increased the number of women by more than 20% at the senior VP level. And so what's the secret to their success? You know, they each had their own strategies. They each had their own metrics and numbers and what they were trying to accomplish. But what they did is they set targets and they kept managers accountable. One thing that they all had in common was a commitment to improving gender diversity. they all decided we're committed and we're going all into that. So some things I want you to consider, and these are questions that I encourage you to write down and really start to think about for your organization. And if you want to work to help be an agent of change and be a change maker inside your organization, these are questions that I think that you should probably start talking about. You know, answer them for yourself first, but also something that you should start to talk about. Because, you know, I think that we need to change these statistics for the better. And if we do nothing, if we stay complacent and we stay passive, the future does not look bright for women in the workforce. So I want you to think about this power gap and this idea that you know, does your organization have more men in leadership positions than women? And, you know, do you think that there's a wage gap in your work environment as well? So probably that's the case, because we see this over and over and over again, right? So I want you to think about these questions. So when people are being hired in your organization and you're recruiting, who makes the hiring decisions? And are women equally represented on the hiring panel? So is it gender balanced? And if you're a leader and you're filling an open position, when you're looking for candidates, when you're looking through the applications, I want you to look at, are you seeing as many female as male candidates? Or is there balance there, or is there an imbalance? And why is that? So I'd also posted here to this group not that long ago, a really great success story about a couple of organizations in the UK who made changes to their job postings because they noticed that they were not getting a lot of female applicants. And so they changed the job description to make it more appealing to a female audience. And their number of female applicants went like way up. So sometimes it's the way in which we're communicating the job posting that is making women not want to respond. We already know, like, our own internal confidence issues and what we think that we need to have in order to be able to apply to a job. We feel like we need to meet all the requirements. But what if you could start, positioning your environment and your workplace as a place that actually works for women? You might see a really big change there. And so just think about that. How many female candidates and applicants do we get versus men, and why? What's going on with the way that we're going out to market when we're looking to fill open positions? Then I want you to think about what's happening day to day. So do women equally contribute and actively participate in meetings? Or do you find that their voices are not necessarily being presented or heard as much as their male counterparts? And so then when they do contribute out loud in the meetings, do you feel like their perspectives are being respected and valued and given equal weight? So that is also something that can contribute to the power gap, right? Because women's voices are not being heard, or they are not being shared, and there can be reason for that, right? So just tune into the conversations that you're participating in. I'm sure there's some men and women in both of those meetings, and just notice whose voices are getting heard. There's a tendency for the loudest voice to continually get heard, and that may not be representing the voice of women in your work environment. So then another thing I want you to think about is, are there flexible work arrangements in your work environment? And are they clear? Are they communicated? Who are they favoring? Like, what success prototype are they really designed for? And are they being used? So that's a great way for us to be able to assess, like, are they actually working for our workers, these flexible work arrangements? And are they being used equally by men and women? Maybe the flexible work arrangements could only be being used by men because they don't really work for women. In which case, again, that's another example of something that could be contributing to the power gap. So good, you know, it's not just enough to put in flexible work arrangements. We then need to say, okay, well, why did we create these in the first place? And what are the results of those arrangements? Do we see that both men and women are using them equally? If not, it's time to reassess what's going on there. Look at your maternity and paternity leave policies. Do you have one? What's happening with them? Are people using them? Hopefully. Are they using them at the same rate? Are leaders using them? I'm finding that more and more women are coming back from their maternity leave early. That is something that I've been picking up on, that I'm noticing that a lot of women are not taking their maternity leave. They're not taking that time off. They're going back to work quicker than they quicker than the time allots for. Why is that happening? What is going on? It could be a financial thing within there. It could be a personal reason why, but there could also be some cultural things inside the organization, which we already know that there is a, you know, a maternity tax that women pay when we have children and the perceptions that go around that. And so women could be going back to work early because they're worried about being excluded. They're worried about missing out, and they don't want their careers to be set back because they've had a child. And so something to really tune into: how many women in your working environment are coming back early? Why is that happening? And perhaps your maternity benefits need to be topped up. Maybe they're not, and maybe they're not effective, right? So there's a lot to look at there. Does your organization promote inclusive behaviors and actively work to speak up and tackle inequality? So I just had the pleasure of working with an organization over the past couple weeks that does a very, they're working very hard to make this happen. And it's new, you know, and it's hard to be able to be, you know, fearless, to be able to have these conversations about race and gender and diversity and inclusivity. And it's hard to be in those conversations, right? Because there's so much that's unknown, but working to promote that and support it and to acknowledge it, it takes a conscious practice to do that. So does your organization actively work at that, or do we not discuss this in the out and open? Another thing for you to think about is your project teams. Do your project teams have a gender balance? Do you have both men and women on your project teams? That's something that I always, it's funny because I was thinking about that as a facilitator when I would put people together in project teams or in training classes, I just naturally always made it gender balanced. I'm surprised by how little people think about that. Like, they don't even think that gender is an issue. So you'll build like a whole team of men or a whole team of women. You want to do that balance. You want men and women to work together. And so it's just something to think about that. Do you ensure gender balance on project teams and working teams? And do you pay attention to that? That's something that you, that's a quick and easy win that you can implement straight away. What is the policy, and what are you doing internally inside your organization to train senior management around gender equality? Huge win today. I was working with this morning, working with a man who said to me, "Harriet, I see that you do a lot of leadership development for women. What do you have for me as a man to help to understand how to improve the working environment for women?" I was so thrilled that he asked that question. Like, he wants to know. And so I think that there's a lot of men out there that want to know and need access to this information. And so how do we train senior management to foster gender equality from the top down? Does your organization have a training program in place to help to foster that? Because we spend a lot of time training women about this. But, you know, it's one part of the story. Men need to be trained on this too, and it needs to become a leadership imperative inside your organization about how we're going to foster gender equality and equality overall in our work environments to make them more inclusive for everyone. And then last question here, has your company made a public mention or any kind of commitment to helping women advance at all levels, including your board level? Do you have goals, metrics, data, accountabilities, promises that you want to make and keep inside your organization to make it more inclusive and to close the power gap? If the answer to any of these questions or to all of them is no, it's likely that your organization has a power gap. And so I want you to think about, how do you take the information that I've shared with you today, which is just really scratching the surface? How do you take this information and get a conversation started around this? So you being informed is part of it, but I want you to sit down with your organization, maybe your leader, or if you're the leader of the team, and take this information and start to apply it and think about, what is the role that I play and I can play to help to close the power gap. One of the daily practices that I think is most important for all of us as women is to not hold back our voice. We contribute to the power gap by staying silent. So this requires conversation. This requires us to be able to use our voice, to be courageous, to speak authentically, and to call out injustices and inequality when we see it. That's our job. That's our work in order to make a more equitable, fair workplace, not only for ourselves, but for the generations behind us. So I want to say thank you for being here. I would love to answer your questions. If there's something that you're curious about anything that I've shared with you today, please feel free to pop a message under this video and I'll be sure to get a resource to you. If you have not registered for the Lead Her Career Masterclass, which is happening March 22nd here live inside this Facebook group, you need to register because that workshop is entirely free, it's live, it's designed to help you get ahead, you know, help you lead your career in whatever direction it is that you want to go. I've spent my entire career helping to develop leaders, so I bring everything that I've learned along that journey to not only inspire and motivate you, but to give you practical, you know, tangible strategies that you can apply straight away to really help you move things forward. And I see some comments here, so why don't I just take a look and chime in. Yes, the downshifting thing is happening, and so it's important for us to pay attention to that. Like, why is that happening? And no judgment, but it's like there's like a lot, I mean, of women who are feeling like they need to do that and are contemplating, you know, maybe I want to step back because this is too much. And so we need to ask a different question. Why is it too much? Why is it only too much for some and not too much for others? That's the problem here. That's what's contributing to the power gap. And so when we look at, we don't need to change, why do we have to change? Why should we have to take a step back? Why can't the system change to make it so that we can all go for whatever it is that we want? If that's what we want, yes. I agree with the feeling of being stuck. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has happened a lot this year. Mm-hmm. It's a really big trend. There is not enough women in leadership roles. That's true. Yes, that's right. So there are, you know, 3 to 4 times the amount of men that are making decisions. And so they're upholding the success prototype. And so we need to speak to that. And so, you know, we also need men to be involved in this conversation with us. So we need to be calling this out. And there's so much data that supports that this gap exists. That's not a secret. Everybody knows this. Anybody who pretends that they don't know that gender plays a role in the workforce, it's like, have you been living under a rock? Like, have you heard of this thing called patriarchy? Like, where have you been? You know, you can't deny that these issues don't exist. And there's not really any organization that I would say is completely immune to it, right? There's so much that goes behind the psychology of this. Women are sometimes complicit in upholding this too, in terms of the way that we work and how we show up. But also, you know, the bigger question is, so now that we know it, what are we going to do about it? Because it's not okay. And that doesn't mean that women need to work harder. It shouldn't mean that we have to continue to keep adding more and more to our plate till the point that we burn out. That's what is wanted, really. Because the more of us that downshift, the more of us that leave, you know, the way that the writing is on the wall there. So, you know, we think about all the work that we've put into getting to where we are, but the last 10 years or so, there hasn't been a lot of progress that's been made in terms of changing this data and changing these numbers for the better. And now with this pandemic, this she session, which is happening, we're seeing some really big undoings that are happening, which should be concerning all of us if you feel like women belong in the workplace, which I'm sure you do. Otherwise, you would not be inside this group with me right now. So, yes, I think definitely you want to, and yeah, so Sarah, you need to come to the masterclass. We're going to talk about how do we use our voice. It's going to be a big part of how do we courageously communicate and making sure that we are calling things out. And definitely I would take the data. I would take, there's lots of research and articles that we can provide to you if you want to get a conversation started. I have another talk here inside this group. called The Impact of COVID-19 on Working Women, which has a lot of slides and data there that you could use and you could share with your employer. Leanin.org has a great article. And there's also an article that's been in the Globe and Mail called The Power Gap, if you're in Canada, that you could provide to your employer, and actually calls out some organizations directly. And interestingly enough, the organizations which tend to be doing the worst when it comes to promoting women are academic institutions, which is sad, because these are the institutions that should be promoting, you know, diversity of thought. And actually, that's not the case in Canada. So we're seeing the biggest power gap happening in our academic institutions, which of course is creating the minds of the future. So that's inherently problematic, which is why I like to develop women, focus on leadership development myself, because I can separate myself from those types of systemic barriers that exist inside those institutions. So I love that you're here. I love that you've chosen to say yes to yourself and yes to growing and yes to learning more, which is the number one reason why this group exists. So thank you so much for being here. I am going to go and hang out now with the women in Lead Her Ship. We're talking about transformation this afternoon and how do we create big transformation for ourselves and inside of our organizations so that we can get into those positions of power. So I'm going to go and get ready to prepare to spend 2.5 hours with those women. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you on Monday. We're going to be talking, having our another Lead Her Ship show. We're back to our regular schedule now. I'll see you soon. Take care, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.
Hello again. This is Harriet Schumacher, and thank you for listening and tuning into the Leadership Show. I really hope that you enjoyed what we were discussing today. And if you did, if you liked what you heard and you want to continue to be a part of our community, here's a couple of ways that you can do that. First, make sure that you subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You want to make sure that you get our releases coming to you each week. And if you would love to give us a rating and give us some feedback about the show, of course, we would love to hear your thoughts. And on another note, if you want to be a part of our community, we have a private Facebook group for women in leadership. It is actually called the Women in Leadership Group. You can find us on Facebook. We have over 1,300 professional women who are inside that community who are having amazing conversations right now about what they care the most about. I go live inside that group every Tuesday to give you free training and free coaching. So we hope that you join. We'd love to see you over there. So thanks so much, everyone. Enjoy your day, and we look forward to hearing you and being with you again next week. Take care.